Welcome, everybody, to the MGA MedioCast. This is episode 28, the podcast devoted to the Mediocre Golf Association. February 13th. I said episode 28. Going to be great. And my name is Willie Dills. And, of course, I'm joined by El Presidente, co-founder of the MGA, John Lucky Kick Morley. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
What's up, straight Willie?
Not much, man. Have you been playing some golf? Any golf these days?
I've played a little recently.
Yeah.
And I got to say, lucky kick, not so lucky.
Uh-oh.
In 2012.
Uh-oh. Well, yeah. if your mini golf putting is any indication, this could be a tough year for you.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Oh, that was brutal. Thanks.
I think Brian Griffin was the only one worse than you in the golf, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
He is terrible. Yeah. So, yeah. So not as strong. I mean, if we're looking at confidence building, you did not get that at the Putt-Putt Grand Prix.
But obviously, I mean, did Jeff do the drop test for you? I had a defective ball.
Oh, that's right. I did see that you had a defective ball.
Yeah.
Which is always a danger when you're playing mini golf. You never know what you're going to get. And that place, well, it's a top-notch facility. There was a couple of things left to be desired. First of all, the golf was up in the air somehow. You had to actually climb the wall to get to the golf, which was a little strange.
That was strange. It was sort of like I don't know, some portal up there that would then take you to the course.
Luckily, MGAers are known for the ingenuity, and we just went right ahead and climbed that wall. We were like, all right, let's go ahead. Up golf up there. I will go there for the golf. Yep. But it was a fantastic off-season event for a celebration of my birthday, as well as something that I've kind of wanted to do for a while, which was do a race. So we raced the little mini carts, and we putted on the mini golf, and the combination of those two events culminated in crowning Todd Benoit yet again winner.
Right.
The guy's just good at everything, isn't he? It's annoying.
Yeah. I mean, he did cut the track.
Did he finally admit to that? Or
no, okay. No, he hasn't.
He probably
we don't have
will.
Video of it, but we know. We all know he cut the track.
Apparently, this is what happened. Right as we get back from doing the initial five laps, the first thing I hear is, I think it was Brian Griffin going, he drove across the grass! And I'm like, did he really drive across the grass? But again, no video evidence. Next year we'll have to put security cameras all over the course.
Absolutely.
Try to catch people, breaking the rules. But it was really fun. I did really well at golf, but apparently I'm horrible at driving little mini cars.
Yeah.
My first lap I think was 77 seconds, and then the very next guy comes in at 58 or something like that. And I'm just like, "Oh my god. This is horrible."
The problem was they managed to fake you out with that brake pedal. Putting a brake pedal in there?
Yeah, why'd they do that?
That's a fake out.
That is a fake out.
Never lift off the gas.
No, no. Yeah, clearly that was the key, is to just pedal to the metal.
Right.
And don't worry about, you're not going to spin out really on those things. They feel like they might, but they just don't. You know.
They
and
just
by the,
don't.
By my, the one thing I did do is I got better every single lap. So by the final lap, I wasn't using the brake anymore, and I was just going for it. And I started to realize not only do you not need to brake, but it's an advantage if you can slam into the corners a little bit, because that will actually turn your car for you.
Absolutely.
So I started to realize, how those cars worked. I think next year I'm coming for that title.
All right.
I'm calling it now. I'm guaranteeing a victory next year in the Putt-Putt Grand Prix.
Wow.
Yep. Going right on record right now.
Okay.
But you just participated in another racing type event that took place in Salt Lake City, correct?
Yeah, it was sort of a racing type event.
Okay.
I went out to Salt Lake City for the grand opening of the Bonnevillains Speed Shop, which is chapter leader Patrick Carter, his hot rod shop. They had an old location. They got a new, nicer location. So they had a grand opening. And I went out to check it out, party with the guys, and check out the car, the Bonnevillains hot rod that I'm going to be going for world record in come August.
Wow.
Or whenever Speed Weeks is out there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what is the world record currently? Do you know? Like what do you?
I think you said it was like 130 or something.
Okay.
I mean, it's a 1958 Chevy truck.
Okay.
And it has to have an inline engine. So, I mean, it's a very specific class,
yeah.
but, But hey, it's a world record.
So the strategy for breaking this record is what? Just press the pedal as hard as you can?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Something, you know, like you're going to do next year at the go-kart race.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I'm going to do on the salt flats.
I think you have the skills to do that, John. I
think so.
Yeah. So you also got to hang out with all the guys from the Salt Lake City MGA chapter. And shoot some guns. I'm sure you drank quite a bit of whiskey and beer.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing. And tell me how that chapter's going. Are they geared up for 2012?
Oh, they're geared up, you know, golf-wise and gun-wise. When it all goes down, I am going to Greg the Mouth Blackburn's house because his arsenal is insane. I mean, you might have seen that picture of me on Facebook with a 50 cal sniper rifle.
No, I did not see that, but I'll have to check that out.
That's his, and it's ridiculous.
I think everybody probably needs one of those, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You need a trailer to like haul it around places, pretty much. I mean, he had a giant SUV, so it fit in there. But if I were to try and fit it in my Honda Civic, it would not fit.
Wow, this is ridiculous! Oh my god.
Yeah.
And the purpose of this gun is hunting, I assume, right?
Shoot down airplanes.
Oh, shoot down airplanes. Yeah. All right.
We briefly discussed trying it, but we ended up shooting at a stump instead.
All right. Well, you know, maybe not quite as exciting, but probably more legal, more on the legal side. So sounds like you had a good trip out there. Any news to bring back from the Salt Lake City chapter? Anything big going on for this season?
It sounds like they got a bunch of new members that are finally going to get involved this year. And a couple guys who signed up last year but never actually played an event.
Okay.
Are planning on making it out there. So I think they're going to have a great year. And I did a little fantasy research.
Okay. Trying to figure out who you're going to pick.
Yeah, evaluating my team.
Uh-huh.
And we'll talk more about the fantasy league later because I need to clear some things up is what I found out while I was out there.
Okay.
Need to explain this to everyone, but yeah, definitely did some research for building my team.
I think I'm going to build my team strictly made up of Salt Lake City chapter members.
Wow.
I think that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Because the Salt Lake City chapter hates me. So my whole goal for 2012, I don't care about winning tournaments. I'm going to talk nothing but warmly about the Salt Lake City chapter in every single media cast because I know they all listen. And so I'm just going to talk them up. I'm going to go ahead and say it. They're the greatest MGA chapter of all time.
And
I thought it was San Francisco, and it was for a very long time. And then they came in and they thoroughly dominated us by having a punk rock show at the MGA World Championships. Not a punk rock show necessarily, more of a screaming match with my face. And I loved every second of it. It was fantastic. I wish we could have seen the whole set, but I love those guys.
I feel bad now because I gave him your address.
Uh-oh.
And the mouth's on his way out here right now with that 50 cal. So
really, he doesn't even need to get that close probably to take me out.
No, he's only going to drive halfway.
He's just going to come as far as like say Oxnard, and then he's just going to blow me away from there.
Yeah.
Sounds like you had a good time. I would love to. I'll be actually in Salt Lake City come June or something like that. So hopefully I'll get a chance to hang with those guys. Maybe see Kiki, my poker pal, and play a little poker out there. I don't know where you play poker in Salt Lake, but I'm sure somewhere. Maybe get a little golf in with those guys. That'd be a lot of fun. So,
yeah, we were bummed. It was snowing, so couldn't do the golf. But
yeah, they definitely have a golf season out there. It's not year round like it is here.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the new chapters. Speaking of 2012 and the 2012 MGA season, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on, and there's a couple of cities on here that I've been thinking, well, when is this going to happen? And I'm really excited to see that these names have popped up on the list. So let's talk briefly about some of these. So what do we got down in the pipeline for sure coming up in 2012?
I would say for sure we've got Portland, who is very excited. I've heard a lot from Portland. Columbus, Ohio, who's also been in touch quite a bit.
I actually saw Portland post already some of the new members today, I think. And they already have a Facebook page going, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So as soon as you make a Facebook page, I mean, yeah, you're on top of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's hard to do.
Right.
That takes some typing, some clicking. You know, it's not easy. So.
Yep. Well, that's cool. And Then we got Brisbane, Australia. I'm very excited about this chapter. The chapter leader seems like a hell of a character.
So that's a fourth Australian chapter.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, three and then Tasmania.
Yeah, but that counts.
Yeah.
If the comments made on my gaming podcast about me saying that we had two in Australia and one in Tasmania are any indication, you're an idiot if you don't think that Tasmania is in Australia.
I know. Australia likes it, though, when I say that, so I gotta say it.
All right, cool. Well, we'll stick with that here, and then in the rest of my podcast, I'll pretend like, yeah, I know exactly how geography works.
Exactly.
What else we got going on? What's Lebanon? Is that Lebanon for real? Is that war-torn Lebanon?
I wish.
Oh, damn it.
No, it's actually another suburb of Cincinnati, so there might be dueling Cincinnati chapters.
Really? All right. So are they going to have more than two members, or are they going to stick with the Cincinnati tradition of keeping it small?
Yeah. One foursome.
Yeah.
Max. No, it'll be interesting to see. He's the builder for my parents' house. He built the bathroom that I use when I go home to visit my parents in Cincinnati, and now he's starting his own chapter.
There's definitely a lot more twos being made in that bathroom than out on the MGA golf course. I'll just say that.
Exactly. Yeah. And then Las Vegas is in. They are super excited.
Who's leading the Las Vegas chapter?
There's two of them.
Okay.
It's Jess, who hung out the last night in Vegas.
Okay.
Who is the ex-girlfriend of the guy I...
Oh, I met Jess. I met Jess while we were playing some beer pong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember her. Okay.
So her and her buddy Dave are starting it up.
So she's a golfer?
I guess so.
All right.
I don't know.
Very cool.
We'll find out.
All right.
And then, yeah, I actually just recently heard from a bunch of new cities, so that's a good sign. But, yeah, it sounds like Reno, Minneapolis, Darien, Illinois, which, again, I'm assuming some tiny town in Illinois, and I'm hoping to get more of those tiny towns going.
Yeah, I think, you know, the backs of America are strongly built on the small towns. So I think we could build the MGA on the small towns of America as well. I mean, it's a good model. It's a good business model, I'd say.
It is. And then, I don't know if this is, Australia, Tasmania, or some other completely independent country.
Some other EA, yeah.
Yeah, but Adelaide, down
Adelaide.
In Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, just heard from them. So Australia's taking over. I mean, we got to be careful.
Wow, this is kind of crazy. I mean, It's one of those continents that you know about, but it's hard to go there, man. You know what I mean? I watched Crocodile Dundee, but to imagine actually visiting that country and that continent it's been something that I never even considered. But considering how many MGA chapters are popping up there, I think it might be time to start considering a trip, dude.
I think so.
I think we're gonna have to make it happen. So.
It costs about $12,000 to send the trophy pack down there, so I can't imagine what a plane ticket costs.
To send an entire person down there? Maybe what we need to do is next season we'll just take them there on our own, and then we'll just save the cost, you know. We'll think about...
Fly Southwest.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll just say, hey, look, we'll just take the cost of doing that out of the cost of us going there, and it's like kind of a win-win, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, so that's a lot of big news, a lot of new chapters, and the goal is to get up to 40 chapters right now. So, we're getting there. We got a lot of growth right now, and that's really cool. And just to see that every year more and more people discover the MGA and also want to just become involved is really exciting. So congratulations to all the new chapters. Welcome. We can't wait to start reading about your amazing or not so amazing golf excursions. And we can't wait to see everybody at the World Championships in Las Vegas in 2012, November. Let's talk about another brand new thing that we're doing here on the MGA, which is hopefully to help increase that growth. And that's we're giving out lifetime memberships now, which is a pretty cool thing. I don't think I've heard of any other organizations giving out lifetime memberships. at least not this easily, and for this right. little effort, you know. So
exactly.
What exactly is it, John, that somebody has to do if they want to become a lifetime member?
I like to think that this is why I'm hearing from all these new chapters or new cities all of a sudden, is because I announced this, I think, a week ago on the site,
uh-huh.
where all you really have to do to become a lifetime member is send an email to your buddy in another city
mm-hmm.
and make him start a chapter, like force him to start a chapter.
Yeah.
Bribe him. He's not going to want to, but I mean, you just tell him you've got some secrets, or you'll make some stuff up about him if he doesn't start a chapter.
That should work. Yeah. Maybe take a picture of his significant other naked and then threaten to post that on the internet. That might work, you know? I think there's a lot of ways to get somebody to do this for you.
I could do it.
Yeah, and how much could this potentially be worth?
Potentially, it's worth over $7,000
wow.
at least. Yeah. I mean, with the rate science is improving year by year, I'm assuming all of us will live at least another 120 years.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair assumption, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's worth at least $7,000.
Okay. And
thus, I feel like it's worth a couple minutes of your time, everybody out there. To contact the right people. And that's really the reason we're doing this, is so that the right people hear about the MGA, because I could go out there, I could advertise, I could send emails to tournament coordinators out at courses, but who knows what we're going to get, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd much rather have members out there who get it, who understand what's going on, enlighten their buddies in other towns about how much fun the MGA is, and get chapters going out there.
Yeah, there's a very specific type of person that fits into the MGA, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking to find those people, because there's tons of people out there who play golf, but some of those people are douchebags.
Yeah.
And we're trying to avoid that. We're trying to get the guys that we want to hang with and the guys that that we want to go to Las Vegas with, you know? So this is a really cool plan and a really great idea, and it seems to be working so far. So keep it going, man. It's worth $7,000, people.
That's,
you know?
That's a lot of money.
$7,000 over the 120-year lifespan of you, but
right.
$7,000 nonetheless. You might as well, I think also you can write that off of your taxes, too. You can
probably
just say to them, yeah, just
sure.
go to H&R Block and find out about that.
Yeah.
I haven't researched it or anything. let's talk about,
nor do I have any idea how taxes work.
No, I assume that I don't actually have to do anything ever. I think it just happens, right?
That's what write off means.
Yeah. I'm writing it off.
Taxes.
I'm writing it off. That's I dine and dash. I wrote that off.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the renewal process, because some people are having a little bit of difficulty with the new website. I know I had to go there and reset my password, basically, and that got me right in.
Right.
But some people out there don't understand what it means to, read something and follow those directions. So let's go ahead and spell it out for them here.
I'm with everybody. I don't like reading stuff either.
Okay.
But I did put the directions on there. I think on the sign up page, there's a link to directions. But basically, if you have an old account,
mm-hmm.
From previous seasons, your old password will no longer work. You need to do the I forgot my password and just go through that process. And it should just guide you through it from there. As soon as it gives you, it'll email you a new password. You can log in with that. And then it should prompt you to renew your membership.
Yes.
And this also, I guess, gives me an opportunity to say that, yes, memberships are bought per season, not for a calendar year. So
yeah.
I think that's pretty standard with most sports leagues, that you buy a membership for each season. But I know not everyone out there thought that. So
okay.
I'm just laying it out. That's how it works.
So, I mean, so people are saying, oh, I bought mine. I don't understand. People are saying they bought theirs like 6 months in last semester or last year, and they want
yeah.
it to still go for the first half of this season.
Well, like Phoenix joined really late.
I see what you're saying.
They only had like a month or two.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, but yeah, this basically a calendar year is January to December of
right.
a year. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. Cool, yeah, so just make sure you just got to pretend like you forgot your password, reset it to a new one. I went through this process. It was fairly painless, and as soon as I did, I was up and running, logged in, got my new profile picture in there, and updated some of my stuff, so It's really cool to be able to see your finishes from the past year and see your stats and everything all get populated. It's the new site looks great, and I love some of the new functionality of it. So yeah. It's a really cool thing. We're also bringing in another new little wrinkle to this, and that's the top media plan. So there's not only a basic membership, but now there's kind of a premium membership for people who, you know, just love the MGA and want to support us and want to get a little extra. And so why don't you explain the top media plan for everybody, John?
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely a lot of things, ideas that I had with the new site and wanting to offer some more things. But of course, now, damn web developer wants to charge me to do these things. It's insane.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
It costs money to have people make things for you.
It's amazing. I had no idea.
Weird. Yeah.
Thanks to Rob Christie and all his goodness for the old site. But yeah, we got a new guy who charges money. So anyway, to be able to make awesome things like the Fantasy League, which we'll talk about in a second here, and offer a little bit nicer bag tag and some nicer profile options where you can have extended stats on your MGA career. And I can't wait to, you know, get new stuff in there and have multi-year stats. And the plan is definitely to go back when I have time, probably during the summer, to go back and get in all the old tournaments. It's going to take a while to get through all that stuff.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's a lot of data entry.
But it would be real nice to have all of the stats from the history of the MGA if we can get all that in there. So the top media plan, like you said, just offers you some nicer options, nicer profile page, the metal bag tag with your name personally engraved on it by hand, sort of, by El Presidente. I bought an engraving machine, a 1962, as I found out when I tried to get parts for it, a 1962 pantograph engraving machine. So,
oh, sounds fancy.
It is. And I had to modify it to do what I want to do with it. It was set up to do glass cylinders, which I'm not going to send everyone a glass cylinder with their, so
I don't know, man. That's a premium membership. I kind of want my glass cylinder.
Damn it. Now I got to now I got to unmodify it.
Unmodify. Yep. Go back.
But no, I got it all set up. I just got the top media tags today. They're a nice black metal tag with the top media logo and everything that came on it. And then I'm engraving the names on the bottom. And the engraving's looking great. It took a little tweaking, but it's looking great. So your card will be personalized by me and sent to you when you sign up for the top media membership.
Cool. That's really cool. So everybody get out there. If you're into the MGA and you want to help support us, Top Media Plan is a great way to do that, as well as get some cool extra stuff for yourself. And let's talk about this Fantasy League that's costing us so much money to make.
Right.
And is going to be really cool for everybody to participate in. And another thing that we can use to talk smack to each other at the end of the year at the World Championships. So if you've ever played fantasy football, you've ever played fantasy baseball, basketball, whatever, you're familiar with how a fantasy league works, but ours is going to work a little differently, similarly but differently. So let's talk about how this works.
Right. And the fantasy league is for top media members, and also lifetime members are going to be able to play in the fantasy league, but basics will not. So there's, you know, essentially, I mean, you could think of the extra 20 for top media just to get in on this fantasy league, because there are fabulous prizes at the end of the year. The winner of the fantasy league gets a 2-year top media membership. Second place will get a 1-year top media, and then third place will get a 1-year basic membership. So, you know, like you said, all the other fun stuff of talking smack and all that, but then you could actually win some prizes at the end too. So
very cool. So
yeah.
It's all going to be integrated into the website, right? So once you're
exactly.
a top member, then you go ahead and log in, you'll be able to pick your guys right there in the website.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not up yet. It's going to be up very soon. We're almost done. It's looking good. And, there's going to be a fantasy area research technology zone, or farts.
yeah.
where you'll be able to rank players, sort them by chapter, or look at everyone and then rank them by all these different stats, like how much money they won last year, what their earnings per start were. And I guess we should just talk about what you're really shooting for. You're going to have a 6 Medio team,
okay,
that you can pick from any chapter, and you are going to have a fantasy money list where it shows the total money that your 6 Medio team has won. But in addition, if one of them finishes first in a tournament, they get a 0.5 bonus. So, you know, okay, they'll win 1.35 for the tournament, and then they'll get 0.5 bonus for winning. And then there's going to be a 0.3 bonus if they finish second, and a 0.1 bonus if they finish third. And really, this is just to help smaller chapters with smaller purses.
Yeah. So they'll still be worth something.
Yeah. Cause it's, you know, it's hard to win. It doesn't matter the field size. Winning is awesome and it's tough to do. So there's a little bonus in there for winners. But then, yeah, the end of the year is going to be total money of your 6 Medio team plus any bonus that they had racked up. And we multiply it by 100 to turn it into fantasy points. So they're whole numbers instead, okay, of decimals.
Okay. That makes sense. Cause I don't like looking at decimals.
Yeah. Decimals are tough.
It's like, what does that mean? I don't understand what that means. That's how, right, I feel about it. Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool. Cause also in the fart zone, you can look at how many fantasy points people had last year, and you're going to want to do some research because, you know, there were some mid-season joiners last year who had some pretty good earnings per start, but overall on global money didn't make a whole lot of noise because they missed the first 3 or 4 tournaments. So there's going to be some research involved in picking your team, and we might even do a little fantasy preview, maybe tell you some strong players that, yeah, you might want to throw on your team. Could be fun.
That could be cool. We may make a little video or something like that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Do a little fantasy football type segment to this show too. Fantasy NGA segment to this show. Tell people who's doing good, who's hot, who's not. Yeah.
Who's kind of hot, who's kind of not.
Yeah, that'll be good.
The thing is, you pick your team before the season starts, or there's going to be a date when you have to have your team picked by.
Okay.
And it'll probably be like right at the start of March. That it'll be explained once the thing's up. But you pick your team before the season starts, and then you're stuck with your team. There's no dropping players, making changes. So really all you can do once your team is picked is your players aren't performing well, you can bug them.
Yeah.
And
you can say, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm happy to give out phone numbers, emails, addresses. If you want to show up at Zach McAnally's door and, you know, inspire him to play a little better, then by all means, just let me know.
Well, I will definitely want to do that. I just want to show up at his door just for hell, you know, just for the hell of it. So this fantasy league sounds really cool, and I'm definitely excited to kind of see how it all shakes out and see who takes that home. I'm kind of already thinking of players that I think would be really good. And now my question is, is this like a draft, or am I just picking?
No.
Okay, so everybody can have Todd.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Everyone can pick whoever they want. And
okay,
there really is only going to be one tiebreaker, and it's Price is Right style. When you pick your team, you have to say what you think the global money champ for 2012 will earn this year.
Okay.
So closest without going over, if there's a tie for the top spot, without going over.
Someone's going to bid $1 and someone's going to bid $2, and they're going to be a total dick. That's going to happen.
Well, you won't really know what anyone.
No, that's true. That's very true. All right, so let's talk about who I would like to know who you think everyone should pick. Is there a guy that you think is the guy?
Well, you know, there's no time like the present to launch my campaign.
Okay.
Early for your fantasy team 2012.
Yeah.
If everyone goes to my profile on the MGA site, they can see my poster that I'm going to be putting up all around the city and probably all over Facebook as well. And I'd just like everyone to know, I'd really like to be on their fantasy team.
Okay.
You know, I'm a consistent player, but as you'll see on the poster, you'll get consistency, but no wins ever.
Yeah, no wins ever.
Ever.
But plenty of top finishes. Yeah.
Plenty of points. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Morley, 2012 for your fantasy team.
All right, that's a strong. You know what? I got to say, John, I think that's a. I'm convinced right now.
Yeah.
I'm convinced. I think I might pick you. Yeah. Cool. But I think everyone should actually pick me because in 2010, I was the global money champion, which would mean that I would have been the MVP of the fantasy league at that point, except I didn't have – well, no, I did have two wins, so I would have had a lot of bonuses as well.
Yeah.
And in 2011, I was absolutely horrible. So here's what I'm saying to you. It can't get any worse. It can only get better for me. So I'm definitely going to outperform myself last year. Plus, I got to say, I've been in training. I've been in serious training in the off season, and I'm pretty sure I realized what the key was to my 2010 campaign, and that was actually being in shape. So I've gone back to trying to be in shape and not just lay around on my ass and eat potato chips all day. I've been not only have I been working out, I've also been drinking more. So, so I think the combination of those two things is going to make me unbeatable. Actually, I think I'm going 8 for 8 this year.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be the first ever MGA champion who won all 8 tournaments.
Well then, man, I'd like to officially launch my first smear campaign.
Okay. Let's do it.
Willie Gregory wants you to think that he's going to win this year, but really he's not.
Wow.
This was approved by John Morley for your fantasy team, 2012.
You know what?
I'm gonna work on it. But
work
I
on that.
Any competitors, and I will much improve my smear campaigns.
Okay.
Attack ads are going to be epic if you try and go up against me.
Well, I run a positive campaign around here, John.
I don't. Mine is very.
So there will be no attack ads for me. However, I will point out that that. You know, John did lose at putting at the Putt-Putt Grand Prix. I'm not smearing. I'm just merely stating a fact.
Just stating facts?
Just stating facts here. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the new rules, because these are actually going to come into play as far as fantasy and who's going to be the best. Because this is going to actually change. This is going to change a lot of things about the MGA. Not necessarily the scores, I don't think. But it is going to make the tournament. For me, I got kind of used to using these guys, and for me, it's going to be kind of fun to be able to do it in a tournament, because you know I tend to be way left or way right off the tee, and not near any yardage markers. So
not doing a lot for your fantasy campaign, bro.
It's true. Smearing myself right now. It's just stating facts. I'm smearing myself a little bit, but that's okay. But the fact is, I spend a lot of time walking off yardages, and I won't have to do that anymore with the new rule in the MGA. So why don't you talk about what it is that we used to not allow that we are now bringing back and allowing in the MGA?
That's right. I think this is going to make a lot of people happy. And
maybe a few people furious, but
it's going to piss off a couple people for sure. But the MGA will now allow GPS and rangefinders
awesome.
At its tournaments. And of you who didn't know that was illegal, it was.
It was, yeah. I'm sure there are people out there who are going, wait, what?
So, now you're allowed, and we won't yell at you.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, it's really, I don't think people are even going to use it that much when they're within the confines of the hole they're playing. But when you do end up a fairway or two or three over, it's nice to be able to use GPS and perhaps a rangefinder to figure out what club you're going to skull towards the green.
Yeah, exactly. I love when you sit there and you think and you think and you think, and then you just duff it completely.
Yeah.
You're like, all right. And then you walk forward and you go, well, okay, I'm 5 yards closer. let's keep the same club in my hand. It's gonna be good. I think it actually will in the long run be an overall time saver as well. Because, you know, like right now, people are walking off yardages. You can't find any way. Like sometimes in the course, there's not a yardage marker obvious. A lot of times the course will have the 150 and the 100 marked off, and that's pretty good. But when you're, you know, like me, I'm a lot of times off the tee, I'm still 205 out, 210 out. it's, you know, I'm not walking 60 yards to the 150, and sometimes I don't even put the 200 in. So this will be nice, I think, and I think overall a time saver. So it's really good. So. Are there any other new rules being added to the rule book?
Yeah, we're going to institute – I don't know when we really first started doing this. Maybe last year in the SF chapter, but definitely at the World Championships, trying to get everyone to keep everyone's scores.
Yeah.
And this has to do with scoring accuracy, but also that awkward moment when some guy who just went out of bounds twice tells you you got a five.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't have to be the only one saying, yeah, I don't think that's right.
Yeah. You're like, I think you were five off the tee, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. So now in each foursome, there are going to be four scorecards with everybody's score on each one.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it'll be a group saying, all right, what'd you get? And everyone can sort it out without feeling like a dick.
Yeah. And I'll say this just from going from previous to when we were doing this to now, it's actually not annoying at all. It's actually really good because at the end of every hole, everyone talks to each other about what just happened on the previous hole. And it actually kind of builds the group camaraderie a little bit because everyone's going, oh, would you get, and you're commiserating with someone who got a bad score. You're congratulating when someone got a good score. You know, you're just kind of more, yeah. You're kind of more involved than everybody else's round. And it's just kind of a cool way to get the foursome all together, especially if the four guys don't all know each other very well, you know, and,
right.
And that tends to happen in the MGA, especially in the San Francisco chapter where we have so many big tournaments and we try to mix and match people, you know.
Yep.
We don't try to put, you know, the same people with each other all the time. Like you'll never see Kent Jameson and Fat Mike in the same four.
Never.
That'll never happen. All right. So let's talk about the World Championship because we're also changing some things around there.
Hold on.
One more new rule. Okay.
And this really is only going to apply to one person or maybe two. So Juan and Charlie Ward, listen up.
Okay.
You can only play one of each event type in the MGA. So if you play an FU Open in Orange County, you can't run up to Conejo Valley and play another FU Open.
Okay. And this is actually going to come into play for maybe some of those other chapters like Cincinnati and what was it? Lebanon.
Yeah.
Where they're so close to each other. This might be something that people want to do, you know,
close enough to firebomb each other.
Yeah, exactly. They're both war torn cities for sure.
Yeah.
So it's basically, Pick one in one city. Now, if you play one in Conejo and then you play one in Orange County, they'll both still count towards your global money title as far as if you play, you know, one FU Open and one Bradish, but you can't play two FU Opens. You can only play one of each. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just keeps people from double dipping.
Yeah.
And you could still play in the other as a guest. You just won't be registered through the site. You'll just have to let the chapter leader know you want to play. But
and this is really just to avoid weird things like, well, which score do we count from which FU Open? And how do we even decide, like, how you choose that? Do you have to decide beforehand? It's just annoying and it's kind of a headache. So rather than deal with all that, it's much easier to just put a firm rule into place. Because, you know, the MGA, it's official, man. Play for keeps.
It is official.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not those kind of keeps. But, yeah. All right. So some of the new rules, these are posted on the website, correct? So you can't find the rule book?
You know, I haven't put 2012 up yet.
Okay.
It'll be up soon.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll have the official living document that is the MGA Constitution or the USGA rules with a couple of amendments.
Right.
However you like to look at it, will be up on the website.
You know what? This is yet another good opportunity to mention one that that I'm not sure if I'm going to put it in rules or what did I call the other category? I created another category, strong recommendations, or and that's where I moved the victory walk and
yes, strong recommendation.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to participate in that this year because last year I was good. I was a little anti. Mostly because I hit a lot less greens than everybody around me.
Yeah.
But this year, I think I'm just going to say, nah, you know what? I'm winning all eight tournaments. I might as well participate, you know?
I tend to forget about it until until Fat Mike tossed his ball at me the last round we played. Oh, that's right.
Sorry about that. Yeah. I got to clean your ball, don't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the victory walk is kind of a funny one, though, because I really want to see three out of the four guys hit the green. An all victory walk. I cannot wait to see that happen one of these days.
Yeah.
It's got to happen.
Well, maybe on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's one of those. Some people will do it, some won't. It's recommended. It's there for your enjoyment if you like it. And this new one that I'm thinking of, I might just put it in rules. I think I'm putting it in rules
because
it's a very important one, and one that I fortunately stuck to the other day when I was playing golf. I was playing with a guy, and on the third hole, I'm like, yeah, this guy's pretty cool. I think I'll tell him about the MGA. And then I told myself, wait, no, rule 9HDB.
Uh-huh.
That's the nine-hole douchebag rule.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait nine holes.
Wait
Do
nine
not
holes.
Tell anyone
yeah.
about the MGA until you have played at least nine holes with them, because douchebags are very tricky.
They are. They're crafty, and those douchebags.
Yeah, and they can seem all right for mm-hmm. for 8.5 holes.
Yeah, suddenly you turn around on that 10th hole, his collar's popped, and he's got like extra sunglasses. You didn't even notice he was wearing that gold chain, and you're just like, wow. I had no idea you were so tan either, you know? I mean, it's just all these things all of a sudden present themselves.
Right. So the deal with the guy I just played with, he was a nice guy, but slowest player I've ever played with. I mean, like, two practice swings, like slow motion practice swings by the ball, step behind the ball, line it up, think about it, do a practice swing behind the ball, step back up, do another practice swing. And I mean, he was just from the trees on one side to the trees on the other side. It's like, dude, just hit the ball.
God, I kind of want to kill myself just hearing you talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, it was brutal. So
oh, man,
the rule 9HDB came in handy there, and I'm putting that in rules.
Put that in for sure, because it's easy to get excited when you meet somebody and they offer to smoke you out or something on the first tee, and then you're thinking, all right. And then by the time you get to the 10th, 11th hole,
they're asking you to pay for it.
Yeah, you're
like,
you're telling them, hey, you know what, you go ahead. Like that type of thing happens.
No, it was awesome to me because I came down to par 5 at Lincoln, which for anyone who hasn't played Lincoln, this is like your one opportunity to go back to the parking lot before going on a major hike. And we get to the green and I putt out and I'm like, hey man, I got to go. I got this thing I have to get to. He's like, oh, what time is it? I'm like, I don't know, but I got to go.
What time is it?
I don't know. What time
My
it was.
Thing
I'm like,
is
yeah,
coming up.
But
though.
I got to get to this reservation at now.
Whatever time it is, I got to get there in 5 minutes. I played it with a guy at Lincoln where we started talking about the MGA. And then I think on the fifth hole, then he was all into it and everything. And on the fifth hole, he left his club on the fourth hole. So then he decides that he's going to start screaming and yelling as loud as possible. And I swear to God, for the next 5 minutes, he's like, and I don't want to like scream, whatever, this podcast, we don't care. But he's literally going, fuck! And he's like, his face is getting red and he's freaking out. And I was just standing there. Are you serious? And the guy who he's playing with was looking at me like, I'm really sorry. Cause they were buddies. And he's looking at me like, I'm really sorry. This happens. That's why I was when we first met up, I was playing by myself and I joined up with him. And the guy, his buddy was like, no, you go ahead. And then I realized why he didn't want me to join up with him. Cause he knew his buddy was going to blow up at some point. It was so uncomfortable. And I actually, that round, I ended up shooting an 80. And I feel like I would have had a 79 or 78 if I hadn't had a couple holes there where I kind of was afraid for my life.
Right.
And it really was making my game a little bit weird. But yeah, dude freaked me out.
Email me his name, and if he signs up, I'll just keep refunding his money until he until he gives
right.
up.
So yeah, nine. What is it? 9HDB.
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 Yeah. Nine hole douchebag.
Hold strong to that one. All right, let's talk about the World Championships that are going to be in 2012 again in Las Vegas in November, and really looking forward to this. This will be the fourth annual World Championships, and just getting better, just getting bigger. So there's going to be some format changes because of the fact that we are getting bigger. We kind of have to start looking at how does this work when this many dudes show up or this many dudes want to show up. Right. And previously we had the top 10 in each chapter. We had winners. We had all these ways to qualify. But now we're kind of loosening that a little bit and changing that. So instead of every year qualifying, there's going to be actual qualifying done at the tournament, which is going to be really cool. So talk about exactly how that's going to work, John.
Yeah, so we're still ironing it out for the exact format, but the plan right now is Saturday will still be the World Championship, but there aren't going to be as many pre-qualifiers. There's going to be people who win tournaments during the year will pre-qualify, so that still will be quite a few people, but tournament winners and chapter money winners. So if someone somehow manages to win a chapter without winning a tournament, they'd get in. We'll qualify for Saturday. And then, of course, the past exemption for past world champions and past global money winners. You know, they all get 5-year exemptions. So they'll all be in for Saturday. Other than that, everyone else is going to have to play Friday. And they're going to have to make the cut. There's going to be a cut.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's really cool because this is going to be now, you know, a 2-day tournament. But this also opens up opportunities for things like the Medio Cup and the Chapters Cup will still be done on Saturday. Right. But we can have the Medio Cup open to more competitors, really, if you look at it that way. People who don't necessarily have to be all qualified and stuff like that. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, it's really just there were definitely some people last year who were waiting to see if they qualified, and maybe even some who didn't come because they didn't qualify. And we don't want that. We want people to come out and party, but obviously we don't want to, you know, give out participation trophies. So we're doing this cut, which is going to be fun in its own right. You know, if you're playing crappy the first day, I'm thinking the cut will be top half in ties. So we're hoping for 144 players fill the course. So top 72 in ties. We'll move on to Saturday. So even if you're playing bad, you got to try and make the cut.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is another thing too. It's hard to last minute book a trip when you're not sure if you're going, you know? So now you can really start thinking about, well, I want to go, you know, and you can actually start planning early. So plan early, get out there.
Which will help us plan.
Yeah, exactly. Plan early, get out there and qualify. It's going to be an amazing event. So, we'll iron things out as the world championships get closer. We'll have exact details and stuff like that on how it's all going to work. But
I'm starting to talk to courses already. I mean, Legacy, I love that course and want to do it there, but we're trying to book the entire course, and that gets expensive and then sort of puts us on the hook for we've got to have 144 players to make it cost effective. So I'm trying to find maybe a little more cost effective course that we could book the entire course without having the risk of losing a bunch of money if we don't get a full field. So,
which I think opens up the opportunity for us to take a trip to Vegas and play some golf. Don't you think?
Exactly. No, definitely have to do course inspections if we're changing courses.
Yeah. So I think we need to look at a good weekend to head out there and do nothing but play golf for a straight up weekend. Yeah. Let's make it happen. So I'm really excited for the entire 2012 season. I think it's just going to be another fantastic banner year for the MGA. A lot of stuff going on, and a lot of really cool things happening. Before we go, is there anything else major that we have to talk about in the news? We're kind of doing a little bit of a news heavy show here. Most of the time, we have a lot of other segments, but
I think that pretty much covers it. I just wanted to clear up the issues that had been confusing a few people and let everyone know that the bag tags are finally in. So those of you who've already signed up, the membership packs will be coming out soon. We got the basic bag tags in, and they look good. The print quality is really nice on them. They're thinner than last year for sure, but the print quality is nice, and they have a coating on them. I think they'll be more scratch resistant, so I think the guys will be pleased with that. I'm pretty happy with the design of them.
Cool.
And then the top Medio tags, of course, are in now, so I'll get to engraving and start getting those out. We are I think we're 9 for 9 for SFMGA signups, all top Medio.
Sweet. Yeah, all right. So I'm surprised Pothier is not a top medio yet.
Oh, he is.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
He was the first one.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, come on now, Pothier. He's got to be. Yeah. All right, cool. So let's go ahead and spotlight somebody in what, of course, we call the media spotlight.
All of the lights on One Medio will discuss his kind of all right accomplishments in this week's Medio Spotlight.
So we're going to spotlight the guy who we at first were calling the original Lifetime member, but upon further inspection have realized maybe technically he wasn't. Right. But he is definitely the owner of a couple of MGA firsts, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And he's also a legendary medio in his own mind and in mine, actually. He's one of the most legendary people I think I probably ever met. And, of course, I'm talking about Justin Davidson, a.k.a. Justin Slaughter, who I remember the first time I played with him. I think his first MGA tournament, I think I was in his foursome. And
Franklin Canyons?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember him showing up, and I thought, oh, this guy seems to hit the ball pretty good. And then about halfway through the round, I went, okay, this guy sometimes hits the ball pretty good. and sometimes he also doesn't putt very good either, I'm starting to notice. But just one of those guys who's just super fun to hang out with. And he bears a special distinction in the MGA, as he is the first and only right now medio to be sporting an MGA tattoo.
That's
which,
right.
John, you were there for and posted a video, which was epic. So talk about that day, because that was really, I mean, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, no, it was a little out of the blue. I think he'd brought it up a year ago about possibly getting an MGA tattoo. And I think I might have mentioned something about a Lifetime membership.
Yeah.
So he brought it up for real, and then like 2 days later was getting it, and invited me along. I agreed to give him a Lifetime membership. And since then, I've had a couple other people ask if they can do it for a Lifetime membership. And let's just clear that up. No.
No.
One time only.
Yeah.
First ever MGA tattoo gets the Lifetime membership.
How about this? If they murder Justin Davidson and then get an MGA tattoo, can they then have a Lifetime membership?
Mm.
There's only one at a time. It's kind of like Highlander. Like, there can only be one. Maybe we should just say no to that too right now.
Yeah,
just to prevent Justin Slaughter from getting murdered.
Like any ideas.
Yeah. So he also is the owner of one of the greatest pictures on his MJ profile I've ever seen as well. And he was one of the guys who jumped on the holding a gun in my MGA picture bandwagon, which happened a couple years ago or whatever it was, last year sometime.
Did he start it?
It might have been, but it was epic. His profile pictures are pretty amazing.
That's actually that's a segment we should add, dude. We should have profile pictures that are trending right now.
Yeah, trending profile pictures.
Yeah, and then offer some ideas as well.
Worldwide trending. Yeah.
I don't think his current profile picture is going to trend too much.
No. Check it out. You got to first you need a thong, and then you need a pair of binoculars, apparently. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
But you need to press yourself up against some glass in a hotel room.
That one's not going to start any trends. But
so let's quickly talk about his stats here. So average score of 103. Pretty mediocre, I'd say. Finished 56th in the chapter, which I'm kind of surprised he finished that high. 360th globally, though, which is pretty low on the totem pole. There's not many more than 360 members. But last year, in every tournament he played, he did not break 100.
That's true.
Yeah, which I was actually a little bit surprised. I've seen the guy shoot, you know, in the 90s before. If you look, he's actually got an 84, although it's at Lincoln, in his scores. And an 89 at Presidio, which is very good. That's a tough course.
I mean, he absolutely, he can play well. And he can hit it a mile.
Yeah, he definitely hits the ball hard, and he gets real good contact when he's swinging nicely.
Yeah, he's hit some legendary three woods.
Yeah. That's another thing, too. He doesn't hit driver very often, does he? He pretty much is a three-wood off the tee guy. Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Honestly, but he'll hit it. He's definitely going to make the money at a tournament this year. He has yet to make the money. He's definitely going to make it at least once this year. But I can't put him on my fantasy team. Sorry, no, Justin.
You don't think he's going to make the fantasy team?
Sorry.
All right. You only get six guys here, so, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to mention real quick is his most mediocre moment, which I think is pretty good. Conning the MGA into thinking that I was a good player on the driving range before the first tournament. By tee number two, I had two balls OB, I had fallen down a hill, and cut the fuck out of my finger with a divot tool never used when reaching into my pocket. So he had an eventful first tournament in the MGA for sure.
I was going to tell that story when we started talking about him, about how good I thought he was on the driving range.
Yeah, and then halfway through, you're like, well, you're not making my my NHDB list, but you are making my didn't think you were this bad list. Yeah. Which is a totally different list, but got to give it up to this guy, though. Fantastic guy. Real fun to hang out with. And whenever he's in your foursome, you're going to have a good time. That's for sure.
Yep. And he's got an awesome MGA tattoo. And by the way, I mean, anyone out there, feel free.
Yeah.
Get an MGA tattoo. I mean,
I still think one of my favorite pictures of all time, too, that in the MGA that I'm like in, is the one of me and Justin at the FU Open saluting. And he's basically got a do-rag on. And I mean, we're both just repping for America. You know, it was like 120 degrees out there. But we weren't going to give up, and we were going to rep America all the way. So got to give it up for that guy. By the way, I'm going to say right now here on the media cast, my FU Open outfit is rounding out to be like my greatest of all time. I love the FU Open. It's clearly my favorite tournament. I won one in 2010, and if I could win any tournament again, it's going to be that one. But I'm so excited. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But, geez, you should all be getting ready for that tournament right now, because just the sheer good times you have browsing the internet for clothes that you could potentially wear on that tournament. It's worth, like, forget masturbating on the internet. Look for American flag apparel. That's what it's
masturbate
at.
To that.
Masturbate to that. Why not? It turns me on. I love America, man. What? So, yeah, get geared up, dude. You got the DB Invitational and you got the FU Open. Those are the two most fun tournaments because everyone comes looking ridiculous. So some people, they can wear the outfit twice. They could, you know what I mean? Some of the outfits I've seen would work at either tournament.
Let's not forget about the Rebel Beach Am-Am.
Oh, that's true. Which,
as a team event now.
Yeah.
You are pretty much expected to show up in team colors.
You are expected to, once you've got your team, you should be showing up in the same outfit.
Yeah.
And if you're not, or some type of a coordinating outfit. And if you're not, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. And I'm not going to give away what Todd and I are going to dress like for this year's Rebel Beach when we defend our team championship.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be epic, like nothing you've ever seen before on the MGA Tour.
So you're not breaking the team up, huh? You're going to keep that winning team together?
Why would you break up a championship team?
I don't know. That's ridiculous. You know, it's been a whole year, man. Things could happen. You know, Todd takes a lot of shots, says a lot of things when he does. So I just, you know, there could be a falling out at some point. You never know.
And it again.
All right. Well, good luck with that. I can't wait to see your epic outfit.
Let's just talk about the format in case we have some chapter leaders who
don't. Oh, yeah, because it is coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as it should have been last year everywhere, where you play as teams. So it's total score with penalty strokes for each two-man team, and the lowest score wins. But all the money is still awarded individually. So the winner gets the big check and the money.
And the winning team gets the trophies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So two trophies.
The trophies and the chicks. Yeah.
Yeah, and the chicks.
Yeah. And a lot of times the winner might be on the winning team as well, because that just makes sense that happens. But, you know, it's
not always.
Yeah, not always. It's true. You know, you could get paired up with Justin Slaughter, you know, and no matter how good you do, it's going to be tough to pull off that victory. But
oh man,
he knows it. Come on now,
that's what he's saying right now. Dang.
Yeah. Oh, he's trying to rub off that MGA tattoo. Oh, those guys are jerks. It's a really fun event. And, you know, for a long time we were doing the money for the teams, but the fact is it just messes up the whole money list for the rest of the year. So yeah. It makes much more sense to have that still be an individual thing and then give the trophies out to the team. But we really do want to encourage everybody. Think of this as a team event for sure. Get out there and you're encouraged, like help your teammate out, you know, like you can look behind, you know, you can do all that stuff. It's a team event, but in the end, it's still going to be individual as far as the money list. All right, well, I think that does it for episode 28. Going to be great. I knew it was going to be great. Of the MGA MediaCast. So we'll try to get another one going. I mean, once the season gets going, we'll hopefully be getting these more regular. But again, big 2012 season coming up for the MGA. I want to encourage everybody, head to our Facebook page and like us there. Head to MGAtour.com. Go to Twitter and follow us there. We are, Mediocre Golf, at Mediocre Golf?
I think so.
All right. So do all that, all those things, and tell all your friends, get that lifetime membership. No douches, though, please. No douches.
No douches. Yeah. New chapters, no douches.
No douches. All right. So thanks again, John Lucky Kick Morley. My name is Willie Dills, and we'll see you guys next time.
Wu-Tang!